Today's message is going to be a little different than what it normally is. My favorite speaker on television and radio is Dr. David Jeremiah, and I get material from him. And today I decided that I'm going to read one of the articles that he wrote. And he bases it on Matthew chapter 24, which I'm going to read first. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them which give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be a great tribulation, such as one that was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not, For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that was Matthew chapter 24. And David Jeremiah's devotion here is based upon that portion of Scripture. And the name of his devotion is The World of the End. Our world is in bad shape, and sometimes we feel that way too, don't we? In our better moments, we know we're encompassed by God's blessing, yet we seem to struggle mightily with anxiety, fear, resentment, and discouragement. The chaos of the world seeps into our hearts. Fear can erode faith if we let it. Is that true in your life? At times, it sure is for me. From long experience, I've learned that staying mentally healthy in a crumbling world is our daily assignment, and we can't do it without a buoyant spiritual foundation to our lives. We need God. We need Christ and His teaching. We need the Holy Spirit and His dwelling. And we need the Scripture and His prophecies about the future. In these pages, I want to show you a special scene in the Bible in which the teachings of Christ, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the prophetic words of God come together in a gripping chapter that's too often overlooked. We call it the Olivet Discourse, and that's what I had just read from Matthew 24. On the final week of his natural life, Jesus sat with four of his disciples on the ridge of the Mount of Olives. There, at the crest of Olivet, our Lord rolled out the blueprint of the ages, the master plan for the last days. Jesus began with a shocking prediction, one that seemed totally implausible in that moment. The massive temple complex, he said, would soon come crumbling down, every single stone. Then Jesus gazed further ahead into the world of the end, and he told us what would happen in the precarious days prior to his return. In our days. This is the greatest message on the future ever delivered, and it's recorded in Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 13, and Luke 21. For this book, we will focus primarily on the opening verses of Matthew 24. Our Lord knows everything that has ever happened and that ever will happen. He knows it totally in advance and in detail. He understands the future into infinity. He already knows everything that will befall you and during your lifetime, and He has offered powerful promises of His word to reassure you of His presence and protection and of His ordering of your days. The future of the entire world is in His hands as well. Every sentence in Matthew 24 is addressed to us if you're a child of God through Jesus Christ. They are for your information, anticipation, and motivation. When we grasp the message of Olivet, our plans and priorities change. Our vision shifts from the immediate to the ultimate. We'll see today's headlines in the light of the hallelujahs of his return. We'll think better thoughts, feel healthier emotions, and respond with better reactions and do better things. Christ's prophecy, then, must determine our priorities. I've spent my adult life studying biblical prophecy, but I've never studied Matthew 24 more intensely than while preparing this book. To be honest, it seems I've had more spiritual opposition than usual while writing this manuscript. The devil doesn't want us to know the Olivet Discourse, but Satan is already defeated and his future condemnation is set. The one who spoke the words on Olivet rules over the affairs of the nations, and he is relentlessly mobilizing the events of earth toward the imminent rapture of the church. The final battles of history, the splendor of his return, the unveiling of his kingdom, and the dazzling new heavens, new earth, and new city of Jerusalem. We don't need to mope about our politics or global problems. We don't even have to settle for coping with the times. We have a hope as sure as the sunshine, as enduring as Scripture, and as glorious as the almighty throne of heaven. In the world of the end, I want to show you how our priorities and lifestyles must align with these powerful words of Christ, which echo through history from that Olivet-covered ridge. For that reason, I've sought to make this book as practical as a toolbox. In the first chapter, I'll describe the dramatic setting and context in which Jesus spoke his prophecy. The following chapters will explain one event after another in our Lord's list of the signs of the times. Deceivers will arise. Wars and rumors of wars will escalate. Disasters such as plagues, famines, and earthquakes will bedevil the world, and God's people will face increasing persecution, betrayal, lawlessness, and lovelessness. In spite of it all, the gospel will spread to the ends of the earth, and Christ will return right on schedule. Those who keep going for Christ will endure to the end, will be heroes in his sight. That's why we must rededicate ourselves to our coming King in every area and activity of life. With his help, we can stay calm. We can remain confident and well prepared. We'll serve with uncommon faithfulness and unconditional love. As we hold up the cause of the Christ, of the cross, we'll be upheld by the power of his resurrection. As we take this his gospel to the world, we will endure to the end. The last part of every chapter in this book is a game plan of workable strategies for responding to the world of the end. We are not powerless. We may have limited control over what happens in our world, but we have extraordinary authority in Christ to determine how we react. We're not at the mercy of circumstances. We're empowered by the grace of God to leverage the events of life for Christ and his kingdom. As Dr. David Osborne, Professor Emeritus of Christian Leadership at Denver Seminary, said, "Too often we try to use God to change our circumstances while He is using our circumstances to change us. You'll also find lots of stories and examples in the following pages. They're not there to entertain us. I've selected each one as an illustration for putting into daily practice the truths about biblical prophecy Jesus spelled out for us. Never forget, prophecy is practical. God lets us in on His plans for the future so we can establish our plans for today. His promises should shape our priorities and sustain our spirits. Billy Graham said, "When the evil day comes, we do not have to be dependent upon the circumstances around us, but rather on the resources of God." Christians are not normal people. They are extraordinary people living with supernatural power in a downward spiraling world. We are on a mission to help others and to spread gospel hope. There's a glorious work for us to do. We can no longer operate with confusion or complacency. The last days are accelerating, and to me is exhilarating. Let's stand as never before with biblical, Spirit-inspired determination, committed to serve Christ with all our heart, whether by life or by death. This I know with all my mind and believe with all my heart. Time is short. Our Lord's words are unflagging and unfailing. They must shape our priorities and energize our plans. As we study our Lord's great sermon, every word of it underscores our mission. Every syllable establishes our glorious priorities as we wait His impending return, that blessed hope. And as we say, "Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus." Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You and praise You that You are our God. And we thank You, Father, that Jesus is coming again. And even though things are getting worse, conditions are getting worse in the world around us, I thank You, Father, that when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become Your child, and You become our Heavenly Father, and You have promised to guide us and to provide our needs and to lead us through all of this. And we thank You that one day, and we don't know when it'll be, but Jesus is coming again and will be taken home to be with You and will be with You forever. And so, Father, no matter how bad things get in the world around us, I pray that we might keep our eyes on You and be living for You and faithfully serving You until Jesus comes. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.